Dear audience, welcome to the Conscious Wellness Show. I am Raymond Morris, your host. On today's show, we have two honored guests. First of all, we start off with David Lowe, MS, PhD. You may look at his site if you're curious, David Lowe, msphd.com. And second guest we have around 5:25, 5:30 will be Johnny Bluestar from newgalaxyenterprises.com. So you can check that out. David, a little bit of history on David here. David is an author, former adjunct professor of religion, drug counselor, and entertainer, juggler, who today maintains a counseling practice in which he does dream work, teaches meditation, and speaks on topics in popular spirituality and religion. After some powerful meditation experiences, Dr. Lowe traveled extensively to visit various Hindu, Buddhist, Sikh, Sufi, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim locales. Soon after getting initiation from his major teachers, he began to have dreams involving spiritual guides, which directed major decisions in his life. An epiphany in 2014 led him to write his first book, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. An informal textbook for discerning seekers, his greatest passions are dream work and otherwise getting people to turn into more profound dimensions of spirituality at both the personal and political level. Now we're going to focus today's interview on the bio-psycho-spiritual importance of your dream. So from 35 years of dream work, David will discuss his experience of being guided by dreams and ways that listeners can understand them. He will also touch upon the science behind dream work, oneirology, not sure if I pronounced that right, the spiritual,
oneirology,
the spiritual significance of lucid dreaming and its therapeutic applications. Welcome to the show, Dr. David Lowe.
Hey, thank you so much, Raymond, for being here. It's wonderful to be on the show with you.
My honor. So we have a couple questions for you here. Is there anything else you wanted to add to your history, your bio, before we get going?
No, just an email, david@worldspirituality.com. It's easy to remember.
And so what? Why are dreams so important in so many ways?
Well, biologically, it's amazing, but you know they are integral to the sleep process. So if you trying to prevent someone from dreaming, you also prevent them from sleeping effectively. So people basically collapse if they're not allowed to dream. They are important for brain maintenance and neurophysiological nighttime maintenance in ways that we don't completely understand. There's also evidence that they are important for cognitive processing, like, you know, stuff going from short-term to long-term memory or sensory material going from the sense organs to the brain to be represented in consciousness. All that, the byproducts of that are thought to involve dream imagery. But their most important function for us, at least in terms of our interest, is, of course, the spiritual level. They're really important in many ways. They're integral to who we are, and they're really almost as important as food and water, I like to say. Everyone dreams every night. That's been known for decades.
Yeah. And overall, how do dreams work for us on the spiritual level?
Well, I think that they're sort of like an advanced radar. You know, we all have inherent psychic gifts. Some people, those gifts are pretty obvious, like clairvoyance and so forth. But we all have what I call dream sight. The basic psychic gifts that make us human. So our thoughts and feelings exist on the fifth, sixth, seventh dimensions and higher. They cross time and space, or deeper dimensions of those thoughts and feelings cross time and space. So unawares at night, way beneath the radar, we pick up on interference patterns, you might say, out in the future and in the past. And we all have our karmas, difficult things we have to go through in life, and we can't avoid the difficult things and the surprising, sometimes very negative things. But we have choices about a lot of things that we do go through, and we make those choices unconsciously for the most part. Dreams offer us alternatives, basically. They basically present information to us which we can utilize if we want to go through life in a better and more effective way. So we can make better choices and have an easier path through life if we choose to pay attention to our dreams, which takes time and discipline, but it's well worth it.
And do you have a practice to help you remember your dreams? Is there something you recommend people to do if they don't tend to remember their dreams?
The major thing is to take a greater conscious interest in them. Get a notebook, stick it next to your bedstand, you know, get a pen, put it there, get a book on dreams, read about them. And you do things with your whole body. You can't just think about one to be more interested. You have to go out and do things. So do those things and make a whole ritual, not every night, but maybe once a week, a whole ritual out of relaxing, spiritual reading, the TV off at least 2 hours before going to bed, you know, so there's no electronic interference in your head and so forth. And affirm to yourself, I will remember my dreams out loud. And having done all that, the likelihood that you will remember them is much greater, since you will have put God on notice. Hey, I'm interested. God's self hears your interest and will respond. But you need to do things. You can't just offhand wish that you'll remember more often. You have to express real interest with your whole being, and they will follow through.
Over the years, what dream experiences have been the most important to you?
I would say the ones which have offered really concrete guidance. But once, for example, I was confused about where to go to grad school, Temple University or George Washington State University. Okay. One night I had a dream, very simple dream, just a scene from the Temple University campus. And the timing of that dream helped me realize that that was an answer to my question. I should go to Temple and not George Washington U. Another time I had a dream. I was meditating, sort of dropped off to sleep, had a dream of getting into a very serious car accident. I had an appointment to go to later that afternoon, so the dream was really vivid to the point where I need to go check this right now. So I went out, looked at my car, and found that one of my tires was seriously defective visually. It definitely would have blown up had I gone out on the highway. So again, the timing of that dream, the fact that it was vivid enough to make me go out and look to get, and I looked and saw that, ooh, my goodness. So there have been, again, guidance like that has come to me through dreams. And people, we can get that guidance. We just have to be interested enough to strike up a dialogue with our unconscious, which we can do.
Are there any guidelines as to when you should especially pay attention to your dreams?
Well, most of us think in the field that a dream is unpleasant. And this comes from explicitly from, I think, Jeremy Taylor, one of the great dream theorists of our century. Dreams are unpleasant only to get our attention. Okay, not for any other reason. So nightmares or unpleasant repetitive dreams, recurring dreams, are the ones you really need to pay attention to. Those are the ones who are trying to get a message across, and the messages that you've been doing your best to ignore without realizing it. Yeah, those are the important ones. I mean, sometimes nightmares can be stimulating, and they're a good sign because you are wrestling with something difficult and problematic in your life, and you're really taking the bull by the horns and doing what you need to do. But really, bad nightmare or like a recurring unpleasant theme, you need to address that. That needs to be looked into.
And of course, the interpretation of the dreams can be vastly different from one source to another. That's sometimes what confuses people. How do I interpret this dream? Some are easier to interpret than others, of course, but some of them are pretty difficult.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, one amazing thing, which again, most of us in the field believe in, and there are different kinds of dream workers. There are those who are sort of limit themselves to like cognitive science and don't think that dreams really have a transpersonal dimension. Most of us do think that they have a transpersonal dimension and do have supernatural dimensions to what they can tell us. So those of us who think that, the great majority of us think that the symbolic language is universal. And that is the same because we all have the same basic perceptions of the world. Before our brains do anything with it, by way of language and cultural conditioning and so forth, which makes us individuals, our brains all perceive the same basic data from the world. So we all, on one super basic level, even an 8-year-old illiterate from the Amazon jungle, an 80-year-old brilliant professor from Iceland or an Eskimo housewife from northern Alaska, illiterate. They all know what clouds are. They all know what a parent is. They all know what sex is. They all know what water is. You know, they all know what the basic world is. And that's the material that dreams work with, basically, in formulating their imagery. So in that sense, you can appreciate how dreams do indeed have a universal language.
Do you have any recommended source for interpreting dreams?
A good symbol dictionary, a really thick one with lots of scholarly references is okay. But that's only a starting point because the symbols vary so much from person to person. The most important thing to realize is that only the dreamer can really fathom the meaning of the dream. Often people engage in what Jeremy Taylor called mistaken literalism. They think that the dream literally means what it shows you. That's hardly ever the case. They're almost always symbolic. So the most important thing to realize is that only you can know what it means ultimately. People can offer crucial life-saving assistance, but only you can know precisely what it means. And two is that the amount of effort that you put into it is going to determine how close you are to the real meaning of it. Just talking to an individual, that's what I would tell him or her. And to find a dream circle, find a group of people interested in dream interpretation and dream feeling, because dreams have an emotional, deep felt message as well as an intellectual message.
Yes, it's interesting that I'm listening to you, I'm thinking the dream world is giving you the information and metaphors or analogies, and many of the mystery schools of the past have taught in that same method. So it's I'm not sure what the correlation is, but I just came to mind that there was a similar delivery method of wisdom.
The correlation basically is it. There is a deep underlying universality to human experience and knowledge. And that universality is beneath literacy, beneath language, beneath culture. Those same profound images that mean the same thing across the board are going to be utilized in the great mythical stories, in the great quasi-historical accounts of the great religions and so forth, and the mystery schools. It's all the same thing across the board. And tuning into that is the difficult thing to do, but beautiful and easy if you really get into it.
And people who don't dream at all, what can they do to start remembering their dreams?
Take a greater conscious interest in them. Aside from what I said before, taking an interest, getting a book, getting a notebook, and so on and so forth, look at your beliefs. Look at your assumption. A lot of people, many of us believe that some people don't remember their dreams because their own assumptions and ideas about them exclude them effectively from memory. So a person might give lip service to the notion that dreams are meaningful, but he or she deep down, because of their strictly empirical scientific conditioning or whatever, may not really think so. They may not be as open to deeper spiritual things as they say they are. So that's part of it sometimes, but I think it's just realizing that, you know, there is a deeper dimension to life. Am I interested in it? Dreams are the most common venue for higher spirituality, which we all have, and which is almost universally ignored. That's the paradox of dreams. They're there for everybody, but most people ignore them, and most people think that they really aren't eligible to have a great dream directing them to do this or that, but they are. They're already getting that potential direction. All they just need to pay attention to it. You know,
yeah.
That information is on offer all the time. We just need to be interested.
And do you set out any intentions before you go to sleep at night, or can that be done with some useful outcome?
If you are dreaming already, if you're already remembering your dreams, and you know, I mean, the main thing is if you keep a journal, a diary, you're basically into deeper spirituality. You have a meditation practice, you do yoga or whatever, and you're constantly journaling, trying to find out who you are in a deeper sense of the word, working through your interests, working through your issues and problems, dealing with them internally. then the questions will always be arising. What do I do next? What do I want to know? What is my next initiative? Well, what do I need to understand better next week about something? And your dreams will be informing you because you have that dialogue going. If this is a new thing for you, hey, wow, dreams, there are things that can really help me out with, then think about the most important questions in your life and, you know, make them into a short, positively worded phrase. And by all means, before you go to bed at night, in conjunction with everything else I mentioned, make that affirmation out loud and to yourself that you want, that you would really appreciate knowing the answer to that question, you know, that you would appreciate help from your own inner self to get more insight about something. And you will, it's very likely if you put that kind of effort into it, that something will come up for you as a dream.
Is there anything you can do, for instance, to go and heal some particular physical condition when you go off to the dream world?
There are definitely cases of people, proficient lucid dreamers, have done healings on themselves and with other people in small anecdotal situations, which I've been privy to. It's happening more and more often. It is something which will, it's sort of on the cutting edge of new age therapy, if you will, therapeutic techniques. But it's a capability that we all have to utilize our own energy to heal our own issues. And this is something which some lucid dreamers do very well, both for themselves and for other people.
Do you teach lucid dreaming?
I can certainly help somebody get further with lucid dreaming than they're at right now. I can certainly do that effectively. The thing to remember about lucid dreaming is that everybody can learn it at least to an extent, okay? Sometimes to a significant extent. Some people just seem to have a knack for it, biospiritually in some way. So it's more than okay if you can never lucid dream that well, no matter how hard you try, because you may not have the spiritual disposition for it. So yes, by all means, I can certainly teach you basic lucid dreaming, and you can have greater experiences with it than you have right now. I cannot guarantee you that you will be one of those people who has an inherent knack to do it a lot.
What does it mean when you dream of falling or flunking a test or course or being undressed in public? Those are pretty common dreams, right?
Yeah, those are what I would call common psychology dreams. You know, as we grow up and adapt to life and go through things that we all go through, to work, have our first date and so forth, go to college and whatnot, have our first interview and so forth, we get nervous, we get anxious, we get defensive, we get embarrassed. And so we have common psychological tensions that we all experience growing up. Those kinds of dreams just reflect those tensions. If all you have is a simple dream with just something like falling or taking a test or, you know, being pregnant or you're losing your teeth or something like that, go to a symbol dictionary, look it up online. It's probably something that you'll recognize. The general meaning of that kind of dream, you'll immediately see how it applies to yourself. But anything more complex than that, you need to call somebody like me if you're really interested in understanding it more effectively or working with it yourself or with another group of people. But common psychology dreams like that are pretty much no-brainers. But I mean, their messages are important. They're important, but they're not difficult to understand if you look them up and everything.
And they're not always the same for everybody, I suppose.
Oh, no, certainly not. Absolutely not. But I mean, Things like falling, flying, dying, flunking a test, being pregnant, what did I just say? Being undressed in public. Mm-hmm. You know, like the 15, 20 most common dream themes. The first 9 or 10 most common dream themes are pretty much universal across the board all over the world. If it's just a simple dream featuring one of those things, then you can pretty much look at the common meaning for it and figure it out yourself. You'll see how it applies to you.
And often that sensation of falling when you're falling asleep is pretty common, although it may be a dream, but I think often that's it's just the process of falling asleep and the visual you're getting inside your mind. But how would you describe that?
Well, the interesting thing about, you know, there's a question amongst dream work as to exactly how you define what a dream is and how beneficial they may or may not be. Dreams occurring during rapid eye movement sleep, REM sleep, that we've all heard of, those are, I'm convinced, all of them, 100%, come for the sake of health and wholeness of the individual, as Jeremy Taylor said. Other kinds of dreams appear in the hypnagogic state or in the hypnopompic state, which is half awake and half asleep, going into sleep and coming out of sleep. Some dreamlike phenomena occur during episodes of sleep paralysis, which can be frightening, where you do have sensations of lifting, falling, physical kinds of sensations of being crushed, and so forth. But during the hypnagogic, half awake, half asleep state, a number of interesting things can happen. And that's when some people, there's a gray area between astral projection and dreaming.
Yes, I can imagine.
They're not two separate things. They are usually two completely different things, but they can blend into each other in some dreamer's experience. And of course, that involves sensations of separating from the body and so forth. But ordinary dreaming, like rapid eye movement sleep dreaming, which is the most common, 80% of our dreams are in that state. Those dreams are always beneficial, most of us think, and they take place while the body is completely paralyzed.
That's the REM state.
Yeah, the REM sleep. Unless you have a sleep disorder, and those can be interesting too.
And does astral traveling happen in the REM state or some other state?
Well, I'm going to say never during REM, but there are probably dream workers who would take exception to that. Certainly in the hypnagogic state, which is when astral projection happens, there are cases where really proficient dreamers or, when I say proficient, I mean people, again, not more spiritually advanced, people who have a psycho-spiritual knack for these kinds of experiences, more so than most people do. So there are cases, people during hypnagogic sleep, you separate from your body, you have an astral projection experience. It can turn into a dream experience in which you fall completely asleep. That doesn't normally happen, but it can in some cases.
Okay. Yeah, that would be an area I would be curious to explore, but that's probably a whole other subject as to all these different dimensions and brain wave rates and frequencies.
Yeah, exactly.
What would they represent in terms of where the soul or the mind is?
Yeah.
Anyhow, moving along, are there some general guidelines for interpretation which most dream specialists would agree on?
Sure. I mean, or again, only the dreamer knows what the dream means. He or she may be totally off in the beginning, but once they get a sense of the deeper symbolic nature of the message of the dream, only they can really understand what it means for them. And that needs to be protected and honored. Most all dreams come to help us out, most of us think. Some probably don't, but it depends what kind of dream it is, when it occurs during the sleep cycle. Most dreams are definitely there to be beneficial for us. Most of them have many possible meanings because it depends within the realm of the individual, how much effort does a dreamer want to put into fathoming the message. A really complicated dream, he might just ask, it's about something at work. Or he can take that complicated dream to a dream group, to a therapist, to a dictionary, and so forth, work with it himself, talk to people, and come up with a much more profound meaning after 4 or 5 hours of doing all that stuff. So the effort that you put into it, the attitude and effort that you're willing to devote to it will play a large part in determining what the dream means.
And what is it that you offer in terms of workshops or personal sessions in respect to all of this?
Online sessions for dream work. And I basically, the person tells me the dream, or better yet, writes it to me ahead of time so I can see it all. I will get to know the individual by asking for basic demographic information and personal information to the extent that they're willing to share it. If they don't, that's fine. But even basic categories of information: name, date, birth, occupation, the rough sorts of things which are on their minds by way of personal issues and hangups. What's your mind dwelling on? That's the thing that most dreams are going to concern themselves with helping you with most of the time. So, but yeah, personal information, what they're going through, personal hangups, immediate practical issues. Does the car need to be fixed? Are my children's grades okay? Am I smoldering over my relationship with a tantrum I threw with a coworker 2 weeks ago? All that sort of thing can figure into why a dream's happening and to what it's trying to say. So those kinds of things are important to learn about the dreamer. Relationship issues, family configuration, who's alive, who's dead, who's talking, who's not in the family, that sort of thing, can all be represented symbolically. And I can't tell the person what the dream means. The most important thing to understand about the way I work with dreams, and most of us, I think, work this way, is that my job is to help the dreamer understand for him or herself what his understanding of the dream is. The last thing I want to do is tell them what I think it means. That would be criminal. So it's very important that that they be given the, that the dreamer have the opportunity to discover it for themselves. And my job is to help them do that, but not to really suggest anything to with too much authority. That's inappropriate, I think, for my kind of dream work. Now, other kinds are more authoritative, but the type that I think most of us do, in those of us who do dream work, we give ultimate authority to the dreamer. So the dreamer is the one who decides everything in the end.
Do you have any workshops that you do?
I do local, I do two different dream circles here in Philadelphia. One's called Lucid Dreaming Seeker. The other is a dream group in a local church. I've done basic workshops about regarding dream work and working through personal issues. I offer a day-long workshop, which I do want to start offering again soon. But yeah, just dream work. Remote dream work counseling, dream consultation. I do offer the day-long workshop, which I'm interested in getting going online. Yeah, so, but locally, counseling around dream work and other related issues, and that workshop, and that day-long workshop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you written any books?
Yeah, the first one I wrote, that first title, Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice. I'd been teaching adjunct as a religion professor for some time. It was getting more and more boring, basically, more and more, you know. Something else was in the wings. I don't know what, but at one point, just sitting in a library between classes, I had a kind of epiphany. It just came to me in one sweep, the title, what the cover would look like, and within 6 months, I'd written it. So I like to tell people it took me 63 years to write, because the book had been cooking the whole time in my head since birth, I like to think. It finally was ready to emerge, and I had that epiphany around writing it. Yeah, so.
Any other projects coming up?
I'm working on a second book, and I'm working on a dream research project around for a convention that I'll be going to in about 6 months, a major dream convention. And I'm just doing as much dream work as I can.
And well, just to close off this interview, what coordinates would you like to share with people?
Just that website, David Lowe, MS as in Masters of Science, MS, not NS, MS, only one E in the name, David Lowe, L-O-W, MS, PhD.com. And that email, david@worldspirituality.com, is relatively easy to remember.
Yeah. And you have a Facebook page?
Yes, I do. Also. And you would have to, if you go to my, wow, I think I sent that to you, didn't I? Maybe it's not.
Yeah, it might be on your profile page. I don't remember off the top of my head. But is it on your website, your link to your social media? Okay, so people can go there. And any last words of wisdom you would like to share with the audience?
Yeah, very please be motivated to pay more attention to your dreams, to get a book about them, get a diary, do your rituals, take more interest in your general spirituality, because if you really can develop a dialogue with those dreams, choices and options will open up for you to make things easier than they would otherwise be throughout the rest of your life. You'll be happier sooner if you follow your dreams than you will be if you don't. That's certain. So go for it, and dream the dreams that you need to dream and follow them with all your heart. And call me if you need to.
Okay. Thank you very much for all that great advice. We much appreciate your wisdom, David. Thanks for coming on the show. And hopefully we got a chance to interview sometime in the future.
All right. And Raymond, thanks very much. It's been great being here.
Bye-bye. It's been a pleasure. Thanks. All the best. Our next guest will be Johnny Bluestar from NewGalaxyEnterprises.com. Johnny is CEO and founder of New Galaxy Enterprises, NGE for short, a media content provider. His company creates a wide variety of proprietary and collaborative media products, from full-length books and screenplays to web content, advertising, promotional projects, commercials, articles, press releases, and resumes. Johnny co-authored Thriceborn, a book, part Thriceborn. One, in screen and book form, and Pray for the Angels, a film and a book trilogy, co-authored Boots in Manhattan, part one, which is in screen and book form, and Foot Soldier, a film and book trilogy. He helped edit and write and adapt to screen many books, screenplays, and nonfiction properties through the New Galaxy Enterprises. He is currently developing two musicals, one for stage, and one for film, Hadley's Castle, based on songs written by Edgar Ahrens and sung by Patricia Welsh, and a Netflix-like drama series called The Couturier with Kathy Scarms, founder of Sat Purush, an East Indian clothing design company. Producer and co-host of Inalienable and Free, Threshold Radio, and Integrative Hermetic Health with Hugo Rodier, MD, an integrative physician. So that's another one of his activities. And Coalition for Planetary Movement, division of NGE. It's an organization which is designed to empower people's spirituality and practically to improve their quality of life on the planet. Empowerment protocols and CPE, which is Coalition for Planetary Empowerment, operate on four levels: personal, relationship, business, and political. An adjunctive social network, La Planète, is under development, beginning with the United States, to give citizens an enhanced and direct voice in addressing government and corporate governance concerns. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
Good afternoon.
Nice to have you here with us. Is there anything else you want to add to that resume?
I just want to make a few little comments on it.
Sure.
The Thrice Born is part of a trilogy called Pray for the Angels, and Boots in Manhattan is part of a trilogy called The Foot Soldier. And we have just the first part, which is in both cases a screenplay and a book. The book's available on Kindle, and now I believe it will be in paperback in The Thrice Born in a few days.
Nice. Sounds like an interesting set of subjects you got going there. I understand that you've produced three holistic health shows. How and why did you become involved in this?
Well, I'd like to sort of tell a story about how I got involved in the holistic health area. Is that all right?
Sure.
Which is right now, it's the Integrative Hermetic Health Show with Dr. Rodier. But that is my third show. So I'd like to sort of tell the story, because I think the story that I'm going to tell you, which is a little complex, but I'll try and make it simple, involves not only health, but sort of manifestation and guidance, maybe from another level, because it has certain strange features to it. So I will start out with, I think I'll start out with when I was about to leave New York, and I met this guy who I knew from grade school, my best friend in grade school, and he was selling African objects on the corner of the subway in New York. And I was really shocked that he was doing that, but that was the last time I saw him for quite a while. At the same time, while I was in New York, I was getting extremely sick. I had a chronic cough, and it got worse and worse. I could hardly breathe. I couldn't even talk. I couldn't sleep. Plus, I was getting eczema on my hands, really bad eczema. I went to a dermatologist during this time, and he told me it was incurable, and I need to buy lotion all the time. And in terms of the other problem I had, which was more serious, I was told I had chronic asthma, and you know, I'd have to be on medication the rest of my life, and whatever medication I was taking wasn't working. So I heard this story, and I knew this person who had access to friends in New Orleans, and I went to New Orleans thinking this is a great place to be because the heat would help me instead of all the pollution in New York. Well, as soon as I got out of the plane, I went into air panic. I couldn't breathe hardly at all. It was the scariest thing, even as bad as the coughing and everything else. And so I stayed there. I really thought I was going to die. I didn't know what to do. And I would take the trolley to the quarter where I was doing stuff. And I passed this little health food store called Helen Keller's Health Food Store. You know who Helen Keller is, right, Raymond?
I know the name, but not...
She's blind.
Okay.
And she became extremely literate and extremely... it's just an amazing story. Mm-hmm. And but I equated that with blindness, and I didn't want to go. I didn't go in this health food store. But one day I was so crazy, I was so desperate, I just walked into it and I started looking around. And I started, of course, to cough. And this older lady comes up to me and says, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "Well, nothing's wrong with me except I'm dying of asthma. And it's incurable." She said, "Asthma is nothing. I accused a 14-year-old girl of leukemia last year." And she shows me this clipping. And I have to go back to New York for a second. In New York, I was working with a project with somebody who owned a health food store. And this person was an extremely prolific author of holistic health books. But I ignored that, except for the fact I did say, I don't want more canned vegetables, and I started to buy fresh vegetables. But I didn't really believe in it. And so so I never paid any attention to him beyond that. Even though he wrote all these books, I never read any, you know. So I'm back here in New Orleans, and I'm really, really really sick. And this lady said she could cure her. And I said, you know, that's impossible. I have incurable asthma. It's not possible. I mean, I can medicate it, but it's not working. I can help you. I went home. I felt she was completely crazy, but I was so sick. I decided to go there. And what did I get? I'm going to put you on a mucusless diet. Mucusless diet? There's a book by Arnold Errett called The Mucusless Diet. And she puts me on this diet, no sugar, no milk, a whole bunch of other stuff, slippery elm tablets and a few exotic things, but mainly was no sugar, no milk products. And 3 days later, I could breathe. I was absolutely shocked out of my mind because it couldn't be possible. And furthermore, if I took a quarter of a teaspoon of sugar in those days, I would go back into it. And I couldn't figure out that either. Well, she had a son. And during this time that I was sick, he says to me, where should I go? He said, maybe you should stay here and try and not run away from this asthma the rest of your life. 3 days later, I was cured. Then within a couple of weeks, I went to a bookstore and I was thumbing through a book with Adele Davis, who's a famous nutritionist. And I opened it to eczema. Oh, eczema and asthma are related. And often this is helped by PABA, parabenzoic acid, a B vitamin. So I took some of the B vitamin and it went away in 24 hours. So what was I thinking about doctors at that point? And then later on, when I left New Orleans, I actually left New Orleans for another city in San Francisco, this final thing happened. Now, during that time, I was hitchhiking. And anyway, I developed some kind of skin rash. It was different. It wasn't eczema. And I went to different doctors to see what it was. And they said all kinds of different things, which were pretty horrible. And I still didn't feel like any of them knew. And so I went to a free clinic in San Francisco. And in this free clinic, I saw this herbalist. Then he looked at me. I looked at him. And he said, I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to look it up for you. Then I got a call. We both had long hair then, and we both didn't recognize him. But he was the guy who was my best friend in third grade.
Okay. What a coincidence.
So I said, well, what should I do? He says, meet me at my office. Now, here's a guy who's selling African artifacts, you know, these cheap African artifacts a few years ago. And I go to this place, and it's a gigantic warehouse. And they come in, he's barking out, I want, you know, I want 40 pounds of chamomile. Let me have some ginger. And he said, there are these desks with these people, and he's barking these orders at them. I said, where am I? What are you doing? Who are you? I said, yeah, my name's Barry Meltzer. You know, I am amazed because I recognize your name because you wrote it down there. And so he goes ahead and tells me that he had all these businesses, and one of them was a candle business, and he sold a methodology of making candles, okay, and that he sold for $500, bought a bunch of herbs, and he actually became the second largest sort of herb and tea company next to Celestial Seasonings in a few years. And so I see how sort of synchronicity and all kinds of things were involved. Well, at this point, I got real interested in, I heard some shows on holistic medicine, and I got very interested in becoming a talk radio show host on this subject. But I had done radio in a radio series that I had actually created and had gone on the air, but it was different than talk radio. And so I got into this thing where I just wanted this so much. And I got on certain programs and I told them certain things on talk radio, but I never thought I would really get there. And then one day I went through a period of time where I worked on radio series, I worked on for radio as an account executive, and I made commercials and I sold things. And then I decided, hell, I'm gonna form my own agency. And so I formed it with this girl who had radio experience in talk radio. And our first client was the health food store. And in the health food store, they wanted to go on the radio, which was not a plan, it just happened. And so now I'm talking about her going on the radio with some other girl. And I want to be on the radio too, but I'm not about to say anything because I don't have any experience in it and I'm scared, right, honestly. And so unfortunately or fortunately, the girls started to fight with each other. And they decided, well, we're not going to just have two hosts. We need a third host. You're it. And that's how I got in my first program on the radio. And I produced it.
And now you have some podcasts or shows on BBS radio?
I have a health show with Dr. Hugo Rodier, who's an integrative physician, who is really an interesting person. It's called the Integrative Hermetic Health Show.
And this is on BBS Radio.
It's a podcast. It's our
podcast. Yeah. Okay.
And then another show. Well, anyway, another show I have is called Inalienable and Free, Voice of the Coalition, which is basically about human rights and consciousness, and what we need to do in order to restore true American democracy. And that's involved with something I call the Coalition for Planetary Empowerment.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, that's really where I feel most involved. I'm trying to set up an organization which has a social infrastructure where people can actually do a number of things. But one of them, they can talk about human rights issues and human rights policies, particularly in the United States now, but eventually in other countries too. And then actually formulate initiatives that could be sent to Congress. In other words, we'd be working with people who are kind of politically experienced, and we'd form initiatives, say, about purification of water. But there's a lot of laws that probably have to be regrouped in this country after all these environmental laws have been demolished. But so they would reformulate them, and then we could use the membership to lobby. In other words, we wouldn't just go one at a time calling up people on the phone and bothering our congressmen. We'd send them an email from 5 or 10,000 people. And these 5 or 10,000 people might belong to different organizations that would work together instead of being fragmented on a specific initiative. And then also be able to lobby businesses, corporations, as shareholders and consumers, and also to address media, so that you have actually sort of it's not a governmental organization, but it's a government, it's a pro-democratic, pro-citizen human rights organization where people can get together and not just talk on social media in a very, for whatever reason, but for human and citizen rights.
Sounds very interesting. And what's the website for that project?
It's a GoFundMe project. But you can go, one place you can see it is saveourhomeworld.com/presentation. And it goes into it in more depth there.
Okay. And you mentioned you had another podcast also, that was in the past?
No, we have three right now.
And okay.
A fourth one is coming up. Okay, so one is called Threshold Radio. And this was started, I think we're on our 92nd hour or something like that. This was started years ago because I basically loved the show. You've probably heard of it, called Coast to Coast.
Sure.
I love Coast to Coast in the Art Bell days and the George Norrie days, but sure. I had a problem with it. And the problem with it was that you would have these really sublime, great shows on UFOs, and then suddenly you'd have things on abductions, and then it would get into vampires, and then it would get into ghosts. It got into black magic, witchcraft. It got into things that seemed to me not providing real guidance or direction. I wanted a show that talked about all these kind of interesting, supernatural, and important things, but also had a continuous strain of political and social and spiritual responsibility and guidance. So that's what Threshold Radio is now. I've got a new person coming in as a co-host. Her name is Elise Rudgar, and she's from Turkey. And she is really an experienced spiritual adventurer. And so that's just starting right now. And the other show is with Dr. Hugo Rodier. This is my third time that I have a health, a holistic health show. And Dr. Rodier is a 32nd degree Mason. And he's very much into Hermeticism as well as being into integrative health. He's an MD. Who at the very beginning of his career was he was very annoyed at the kind of mnemonic way you learn things in med school. So instead of actually reading the textbooks and going through he went through the whole med school, but he would go on the side and read all the medical journals. So he was completely abreast of what was going on. And he decided the most important thing is food is medicine, that sure. we shouldn't forget this. And he is basically our program. We talk mostly about things that validate that, but we also talk about the various pharmaceutical and chemical and environmental toxins that are destroying our ability to eat, which of course includes to eat and be well, which of course includes most of the food industry and the pharmaceutical industry.
Sure. And I also believe that you offer services to people who are in wellness businesses or alternative medicine, or for that matter, any kind of business, multimedia services with all your years of experience in that domain. Can you tell us about that?
A lot of my life has been developing proprietary client-based and collaborative projects of every type. So I do offer these services. Right now, we're kind of focusing on speakers and coaches of various types to support those people. But we also can do almost any kind of support for almost any kind of business. If you're looking for a website, or you're looking for video or audio ads, or you're looking for fixing your profiles in LinkedIn, there's hardly any area that I haven't touched or the people I work with haven't touched.
Including if somebody wants their own radio show, if they want help with building up all the material and information for their show, you could help them with that.
Yeah, right now we are representatives of BBS Radio, which is which we're talking on now, which I had looked for a long time and with great disappointment to other areas after I was in AM and FM radio. And the kind of responses and the kind of programs I fell into didn't equal that. Now, BBS Radio kind of more than equals that, because not only do you get customized audio engineering help, and also a live board op, but you also get a lot of promotion, right? Isn't that right, Raymond?
Yep, that's from what I've seen. They have the most complete package of anybody out there, but that things do change all the time, but it's certainly one of the top five. And that's it. We're getting very close to the end here. We got about a minute left. Would you like to share your coordinates, how people can get a hold of you and your websites and stuff?
I think the best way is to go to newgalaxyenterprises.com. That will link to the coalition. That will link to our broadcasting website. I have some of the books that I've written. You can find them. You can find stuff about my personal history and the various projects I've been involved in, some of which I think are quite interesting, but I haven't had time to really speak about them.
Sure. And you have a Facebook page?
Facebook, Johnny Blue Star. I also have two discussion groups in LinkedIn. One is called the Wayne Dyer Experience. I talk about everything about Wayne Dyer's life and his teachings, and we have lots of links to different videos and books. And the other one is called Vote Back Our Country, Save Our Planet, which is really devoted to discussing the inalienable free subjects there in that radio show. And also I have a new publication, which is called We Beg to Differ, which is alternative news looks at mainstream narratives. And we kind of look at the other side of the political spectrum, other than the left and the right.
Excellent. Well, that must be keeping you busy with all that stuff. But anyhow, if there's anybody out there who needs assistance with multimedia or marketing, Johnny's your man. You've got his website there. Thanks a lot for coming on the show and sharing your interesting stories with us. And we look forward to having you again, since you're part of the big BBS family.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Raymond.
Thanks a lot, Johnny. Speak to you soon. Take care in the meantime. Bye-bye. Next week, our guest will be at 5 p.m., Susan Grandin. You can see her website on birthinganewreality.com. We would like to thank our show technician, Donald Newsom, and our show sponsor, Community Marketing Communications, wellness marketing experts in strategic marketing planning, website design, directory specialist, new revenue specialist for websites. Visit Communion Marketing's website at communionmarketing.com. If you would like to sponsor the show or advertise during the show and get great exposure within the wellness community, please contact us for more information on the packages available. You can contact us at raymond@bbsradio.com. And the main website is bbsradio.com. You can also contact me on 514-798-2737. And I look forward to seeing you next week, same time, same channel. May the grace and the blessings of the divine creator be bestowed upon each and every one of you. Your host, from the heart, Raymond Morris.